Off the Ball, GAA.
The story out there was that they were the tough team, Tipperary. They were the team all the steel, because we were kind of the aristocrats, the team with all the skill.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and myself, Tommy. Championship has kicked off. An absolutely gorgeous weekend around the country. Fellas, how'd you enjoy it?
It's beautiful, isn't it? Tropical. Tropical around the island. It's pure championship weather. I was in Castlebar yesterday, lads. It must have been 28 degrees there.
I heard you. You said it was the nicest time you've ever had in Castlebar.
It definitely was, actually, yeah. Little Supermax on the way home as well. Can't go west without getting a little Supermax, a little treat.
Was it windy there? Yeah. It's usually windy.
It wasn't. There was a bit of a breeze, yeah. I'm not sure if you can kind of see it on telly, but the Sligo were shooting into it in the first half and then Mayo in the second half. Wouldn't have had too much impact on the game, I feel. But I think there was 9,000 or 10,000 at it, so not a bad crowd. It turned out to be a better game than I thought it would be. That's credit to Sligo. Plenty for Mayo to work on. But in terms of kicking off the championship weather, it was beautiful. Ice cream and sun cream. We're out in force in McHale Park. Our Hastings Insurance McHale Park, as we have to call
it. Mixed up.
Yeah. James, your weekend, how was it?
It was a fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
Well, we were up in Meath on Friday. A few holes of golf, yes. You know. Bit of talking football Saturday. We did a Legion game on Sunday. We won. So we're back up and running. And yeah, watched a bit of the championship. Can't complain. Things are looking up. I'll tell you what.
Yes.
It's nice.
Masters this week as well. Like.
The Masters this weekend, yes.
Wow, it's summer. I'm taking a week off, lads. You can't be doing any work this week. Once it's double digits in degrees, you have to take some time off.
I'm actually due a week off because we're into the house in 2 weeks, so I need to...
Oh, housewarming. What day are we doing the housewarming, Jimmy?
We'll do it on Zoom.
It's the safest way. That's the safest way. Come on.
Here's our lovely drinks cabinet.
You must
sponsored by someone, no doubt. You must have your little studio space ready, James. Surely a professional broadcaster like yourself.
Oh, of course. Out in the shed.
Looking forward to it.
Spare bedroom. It'll be lovely though. Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to some strong internet connection because
yes,
I must say, I apologize. My internet here is poor. But I haven't paid for
that. Is that AIB? Are you in AIB there? Or?
No, I'm outside. We're living across the way from the Brehan Hotel, and it's the Brehan Hotel's internet.
You're stealing Wi-Fi, Jimmy. Yeah. That's class.
I hope there's 5G in Kilcoman. Okay, James, Christina, best of luck with the big moves.
It's not.
The next little while.
Sorry, Tommy, just to cut across you there again. It's not
Kilcoman Road.
Okay, it's Killarney.
Kilcoman Road.
It's okay. Not Muckross. Okay, it's Muckers.
Perfect. Okay, Killarney. Let's go on with it. Okay.
He's a bit in his bonnet today, doesn't he?
He does.
Shooting from the hip here a bit more than usual. Jimmy, come on. Yeah. Just chill.
And James, you've started an agenda. I had some fella comment on a TikTok of us or an Instagram from a couple of weeks back saying, "Betcha Rooney is sick that Kerry have won the league final. He absolutely despises them." I don't despise Kerry. I really like Kerry. But it just shows you how something can start on the pod and you roll with it.
Hey, Jimmy, your name was Dust in Castlebar yesterday.
Oof.
Let me just tell you that from across the board, it was universal disgust at the quality gate. That's what it's going to be known as.
I don't believe
that. Mayo. From within and outside the Mayo camp, they were like, "That fucking O'Donoghue fella."
Inside the Mayo.
So I hope, I tell you, I know we're going on the road in a couple of weeks. I hope it isn't the Castlebar or you'll be getting rotten veg thrown at you on stage. We've already done Castlebar anyway a couple of years ago, so I'm sure we're going somewhere new.
We need safer territory.
We'll have to wait and see what happens in the Connacht semi-finals. Galway up against Roscommon. They both won abroad this weekend. Mayo, of course, bet Sligo. and they're facing Leitrim in the Connacht semi-final. Paddy, did Mayo live up to the mark in terms of quality? Let's just start there. You were in the sunshine, the windy. There was a bit of a wind there in Castlebar. Did they live up to the quality marks of our James O'Donoghue?
This game was like... And then start off, I think Sligo's performance was the surprise here that they... We've seen across the divisions, lads, right? And this is the big challenge in all the provincial championships. The step up is massive. Like we've seen, you look at the two Division 4 finalists. Limerick were Division 4 champions. They went to play Cork, who kind of struggled through Division 2, and they were wiped. And then even more of a surprise, Wexford, who had been kind of the standout team up till the league final. They won all their games in Division 4, and they play Laois, only one division ahead of them, and they're wiped as well. So the step up across the divisions is massive. So that was the fear going into Castlebar yesterday, that Sligo, who kind of steadied the ship at the end of their Division 3 campaign, were coming up against Mayo, you know, but genuine All-Ireland contenders. You're thinking this is going to be heavy going. But credit to Sligo, I thought they played exceptionally well. The resilience they showed, there was probably two or three times, like Mayo came out to start the second half. We felt that they needed a big 10 minutes just to put the game to bed. They got a brilliant goal through Aidan O'Shea, who was exceptional, head and shoulders above everyone else yesterday. And they thought, okay, floodgates are going to open. But Sligo, to be fair to them, led by Niall Murphy, Keane Lally gets a brilliant, brilliant goal. They stick at it. And lads, if you would have said before that game that the final kick out, Sligo were having a chance of nicking something from this game, you would say, Jesus, they've obviously done a hell of a lot of good stuff. So they did. From Mayo's perspective, what was good from them, we spoke last week about just, do Mayo have enough breadth in their scoring division to really go and win the All-Ireland? I don't think they do. But yesterday, they got a couple of points from Darren McHale at centre-forward. Jack Kearney played a lot closer to goal, particularly in the second half. He clipped 3 or 4 points as well. Ryan O'Donoghue gets a goal, but probably wasn't his best game. You just got the sense Mayo were playing in maybe second or third gear. There was nothing glaring. I think defensively, they would have been a bit disappointed to concede 2:17. You know, to concede 2 goals. And Sligo had, you know, Pat Bland had a massive goal chance in the third quarter, which would have brought it back to 2 points. So again, if you're Mayo, it was a case of get the job done, move on. Look, they're going to beat Leitrim in a couple of weeks' time as well. So you're not going to get any sense of Mayo until a Connacht final in a month's time. But they kind of operate in second or third gear. They'd be disappointed with the chances they coughed up to a Division 3 team. Albeit Sligo went well, I get all that, but Mayo are talking about winning the fucking All-Ireland here, lads. They need to be a lot tighter at the back. Up front, Aidan O'Shea, like I say, the big positive, he absolutely lorded that match yesterday. 17th championship campaign. When he was in close to goal, he was causing havoc. When Mayo moved the ball really fast, which they did in the first quarter, and they could have put the game to bed there, they missed 2 or 3 chances, a bit sloppy in front of goal. But outside of that, it was just, like I say, second or third gear. They've a lot to improve on, which I'm sure they will.
Can I ask you a couple of quick fire questions, right? So looking for quick answers here, right? Aidan O'Shea was probably Mayo's best forward on the field in the league final as well.
Yeah.
Very good at the weekend. He's a couple of highlights throughout the league since he's come back, the kickouts against Kerry. What's O'Shea doing so well in 2025?
Nothing overly different than we've seen from before. Wherever he plays on the pitch, he has an influence on the game. So my thing with him, and in the first half you saw this, Mayo had that bit of a breeze. He stayed right in close to goal. He was there and he had Ryan O'Donoghue playing off him, and Mayo were looking to kick the ball up the pitch very quickly. I think that's Mayo at their best. When they move the ball, whether it's through the foot or that running game, and they have such a focal point there. He's just such a handful. If the ball comes near him, he's so difficult to get out in front of. And when he has it in his hands, he's so difficult to dispossess. And he can just feed off. He's that figurehead, like Jimmy, you would have had it for years, famously, with Kieran Donaghy. He just gives that attack shape. The challenge for Mayo, we were seeing this with Michael Murphy for years with Donegal, is if they're struggling around the middle third, do they drag Aidan O'Shea out the pitch? Now, again, you look at the last kick out, that play yesterday, Sligo, all of a sudden, the blink of an eye, they get a goal, brilliant goal through Keane Lally, and they reel off 2 2-pointers in a row.
But hold on a second.
The game being gone, and they're back in the mix.
On that two-pointer, right? And this is my next quickfire question.
It was inside. I know, I get that. But
Go on.
Aidan O'Shea goes out to the middle, and unbelievable clean fetch wins the game for Mayo. So that's, he hasn't changed anything in his game. It's where they place him on the pitch. I think for them to have the best chance, they can't take him out of the scoring zone. I know he's not a clinical out-and-out scorer, but he just causes havoc in there. I think for them to do anything this year, they need to trust Carney and Manny Roman, Stephen Cohen, these guys out on the middle third, and keep Aidan O'Shea close to goal as a foil for Ryan O'Donoghue. He was head and shoulders above everyone else on the pitch yesterday in all aspects of the game.
Mayo had five, six championship debutants. Did any of them impress you? Ravinieri was very influential, I thought, in the first half, involved him quite a bit.
Yeah, Tommy, there's no one standing out going, that guy's exceptional. It was that type of game. They kind of were comfortable, they're going to win it. We'll get more from Mayo. I don't think you're going to get a really accurate read on Mayo, because they kind of alluded to this until a month's time when they play either Galway or Rossies in the Connacht final. They're going to blitz Leitrim in 2 weeks' time. So for him, it's good to blood those guys, get them championship minutes. And they've had a hectic schedule. That was the story that Mayo were kind of spouting after the match. Look, it's been 3 or 4 weeks on the go. Wasn't our best performance. We just need to win today and regroup. So,
okay, quicker ones here, right? And James, I'll let you in after this. From Sligo's perspective, what should Pat Spillane have done with the goal chance?
It's easy to say now, catch it and go, like exactly what Aidan O'Shea does for his goal. He's just a little bit more composure. But if you're a defence of Pat Spillane, Colin Reeve comes out, he's out of the game, so the goalkeeper's gone. You're just thinking, get anything on this and put it into the net. And that would have brought it back to 2 points. It's brilliant defending in the end, but look, in hindsight, what should he have done? Caught it and put it fucking in 99% or else in the goal, and it was a goal. Pat Spillane had a good game, to be fair to him. He clipped a couple of scores, but that Aaron Kernan spoke to us afterwards on GAA Plus, and it was like, for an underdog to win a game like that, every single chance needs to be converted. And that was a big goal chance. He should have caught it and scored it, but it's easy.
Okay. Yeah, so Sligo, I reckon, are going to go enter the Tailteann Cup a second season. They're one of 8 teams that were confirmed as Tailteann Cup entrants at the weekend. Last one, I mentioned the Niall Murphy two-pointer that was about 5 yards inside the arc earlier. We also had a moment before that where the umpires and the officials got it right. And let's not forget about this, okay? And I know the two-pointer is going to be a thing this year. But there's Luke Towie's goal, right? That, you know, you have to pause it on the TV to make sure that when Pat Spillane squares it, he's not in the square. So the umpires and the officials get it right that time. How did they get it wrong with Murphy's two-pointer, Paddy? Could you tell at the time that he was inside? Because
we were pitch side, so we there's no way you could see it at that. And okay. I think that's the big challenge for whatever, if you're in Bird's Eye View and Crow Park and you're looking down. But at pitch level, you're like, you don't know, like, refs don't. So it's kind of, they've got to be right on it there or relying on. So the linesmen have the same view as we had. We were literally on the sideline and you didn't think anything of it. Mayo didn't make that much of a deal of it, but you're right. Yeah. In terms of, in the space of 90 seconds, the game was cruise control for Mayo to all of a sudden being in the melting pot. And they were the only two-pointers yesterday. Again. So, look, I think we'll see a bit more of that across the board, yeah.
Okay. And actually the umpire was going for the white flag and it was communicated. So that's just a big communication that has to be sorted out. James, where do you want to go after the weekend? Paddy, good stuff there on Mayo. It'll be interesting to see how they go. You'd imagine Leitrim semi-final is going to be something very similar. I know the crowd was in around 10K on a beautiful day in Castlebar. There was about 16 in Ballybuffet. I can't imagine there's going to be huge crowds turning out to that Leitrim semi-final. It's the nature of April, lads. The scorelines at the weekend, the amount of mismatches, like, James, I don't know, do you want to start there or do you want to go to one of the games? But, you know, Wicklow Longford went the extra time, but that was probably the closest game we had.
Yeah, but you know what's going to be hard for teams? If you look at going through this weekend, right, just on Sunday, say, right, the teams that lost and what they actually kicked, right, Sligo lost and kicked 217, right? 217 would have won you 2 matches last year, right? Yeah. They've lost in 217. Galway have beaten New York. New York kicked 20 points and lost. Carlo got hammered by Meath and kicked 19. Longford have lost and kicked 120. And Derry have lost at 115. Do you know, like, you have to be so good in all facets of the game this year, because if you're not, fair enough, you might be very good defensively, but if you can't score, you're not going to get up to those mid-120s. And if you can't attack, other teams are going to kick so much against you that you're going to be under pressure. So I think that was very evident this weekend with the change in the weather, the ball flying, you know, 2-pointers a little bit easier, the game's a little bit faster, the ground's a bit harder, fellas are sharper, fitter. The score lines are going to be so high. And like, for losing teams to be racking up those scores is just incredible. Yeah. But where do we want to go?
In your defence, from the Mayo supporters yesterday giving you a bit of stick, doesn't that just emphasise again for a team in Division 1 in Crow Park to score 112 in a match?
I can't believe it. I genuinely can't believe it.
Justified that chance going, how the hell can a team under these conditions with these rules score that amount? Like you say. Yeah.
Against not a defensive side either. Against an open enough playing team.
I had your back, Jimmy. Don't worry. I had your back on that one.
I appreciate it. Thank you. We got to stick together, man. You know, it could be you. It could be you next week.
Trying to think who I'll have a cut out. It depends. I'm in Newbridge on Saturday night, so we'll see who Kildare Westmeath turns out.
Might be the knife
in anyone there now. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I want to go, though, Tom, to Derry Donegal. Okay, because it was the game of the weekend. Again, beautiful day, high scoring. And there was so many different angles to the game, I thought. Like, the way it started, I'd actually give Derry a lot of credit because they're going into the Lions Den there. The atmosphere is raucous. They're the away team. They're underdogs. They're not playing well. And I think they did something very clever. They slowed the game down. And they had a couple of attacks that they took so long to execute. They were just hand-passing it around, making sure that the crowd were kept low and that Donegal weren't counter-attacking on them. Now, Donegal still did get a couple of counter-attacks off because maybe they turned over the ball, but they ended up starting the game perfectly, I thought. But what they did, the custom in that spell, was they were actually, without realising it, they were actually having their purple patch early in terms of creating chances. And they missed them. Obviously, they had, I'm listing off here, Cassidy had a chance at the post where he'd expect to get early on. Lachlan Murray then has a shot, hits the post, and Donegal come down and get 2 points off the back of that kick out of Patton. McGuigan has the penalty. Conor Doherty has a goal chance. So they actually hit their purple patch, I think, actually without realising it. As they were trying to slow the game down and maybe kill Donegal's momentum, they were coming into a period where they could have actually gone on and laid down the foundations to win the game. But when they missed them, I think they lost a little bit of momentum. And then the game changed. On 25 minutes, it was 5-5. And within 5 minutes, it had gone to 11-5. Now, I know that Higgins gets the goal back for Derry, but it had gone to 11-5. And suddenly, you're the away team chasing, which you don't want to be. You want to be in control. You want to be a point up, point down level. You don't want to go 6 down there away to Donegal. Because Patton was absolutely outstanding. Like, in terms of weapons in your arsenal, I think Patton, from looking at him, he was, and I saw him in Killarney against Kerry as well, he was absolutely unbelievable. But he is so dangerous. Every single time the ball goes dead, out over Donegal's bar or over the end line, it's an attack for Donegal because Patton is launching it. And if you don't press up on his kick out and mark the short ones, he'll dish it quickly. And if you do that, he's going over the top long. And he can change the game in a second. I just thought that he was so influential, as opposed to maybe Derry didn't have that quality in their goals. And if you look at probably one of the most important periods of the game was when Derry got in for their goal. And all you want to do is consolidate that. You want to get the goal, maybe win the next kick out, maybe take the pressure off yourself and back on the opposition, take the sting out of the game, work another score. Patton hits a kick out to the opposite 45 into Murphy's moat. Like, the quality at that stage as well, in such an important time. And all that Murphy does is dish it to O'Donnell, I think it
Connor.
Is.
Connor O'Donnell.
Yeah, to
tap it over. Like, to execute that quality. So now that 3-point goal is down to 2 points straight away. It's like you're kind of chipping away at that goal.
We were chatting earlier about
Hold on.
His ball flight is incredible.
Unbelievable. But just the next kick out from the far side, Thompson steals it.
Yeah.
Kieran Moore tears through. I want to come back to him in a minute. And O'Boyle shows it. A little kind of look as if he's going to slip it to Conor O'Donnell and buries a pass by McNichol.
Well,
and
I want to talk about that player as well. Go on, Paddy.
Yeah, go on. Paddy, go on. You were coming in on Patton's ball flight there.
Yeah, because we said it was chaotic around the middle in the National League. The keeper's just launching the ball out and it's kind of 50-50 out there. A bit of a melee out there. And if you're lucky, you get your hands on the ball or not. And we said we haven't really seen teams take anything out of our Arsenal, these short kickouts, like what a team's going to do, how our goalkeeper's going to adapt. And we've seen some horror stories so far with trying a short kick out outside the arc and the defender's waiting on it and a forward nicks in and it's a goal chance. We've even seen it again over the weekend. Whereas Patton has, because the way his ball flight, his short kickouts are zipped out as well. So it takes that danger out. Say a team presses up and Derry are really brave and go, okay, we're going to stop that short one out around the arc. Well, he has the range then to go 60 yards down the pitch. And you got Thompson, and you got Murphy, and you got Langan. And all of a sudden, and Donegal, these were the originators of this long kick out and a tap down to someone flying by Kieran Moore, Patter Mogan, Roy McHugh, these guys. So then, okay, well, we need to protect against that. Well, then Donegal can just guarantee possession. He could bang a 50-yard kick. A 50-yard kick for him is a short kick out. And he zips it in. So it's just these keepers that people, do the keepers have too much influence or change the rules around? He's not a guy that comes up the pitch in the mould of a Rory Began or a Niall Morgan or anything like that. But he is a tool for Donegal. And that was one element that stood out for them yesterday. Again, I thought Donegal were in last third, maybe the odd time up to fourth gear. There's more in them. And they've swatted Derry aside by 10 points. Yeah. So in terms of protecting Donegal against the ambush, it was 12 months ago, it was roles reversed. Derry were coming into this game red hot and Donegal just took them out. Again, it was Patton's kickouts that time and he was catching out Aaron Lynch. But I thought Donegal did what they had to do yesterday, still with plenty in reserve. I thought it was a really, really impressive performance. And you said it, Jimmy. I think Paddy Talley, you had a good chat with him after the game, Tommy. And it was just, they were going into that game. Yes, they've injuries. Everything needed to go right for them. Everything, they needed to take all their chances. Poor Elle McGuigan, again, Pat, brilliant save, double save from the penalty. And you just, my heart doesn't go out to Derry, but it's just, you feel like that's a team, the spark is gone, isn't it?
At the moment.
The spark is gone. Without doing a whole pile wrong yesterday, they're leaving there, they've been beaten by 10 points. Yeah, they might raise a gallop in the qualifiers, but really, like, Derry aren't going to win the All-Ireland, lads. So then it's a case of, it's a hard place, that dressing room, I would say.
I agree. I don't think they're going to win the All-Ireland, but I still think they have so much quality. Like, they could, if they just took their chance in the first half of the last day, they could have put Donegal under pressure. And I agree, I don't think Donegal were at their best at all and still cantered. But that's why I give Patton so much credit. I think the Patton puts you into top gear because you mightn't be doing much. And next thing, he's launching a kick out in a split second up the other end of the field and putting pace into your attack without you even trying.
You've got to go.
He's kicked it. Someone's caught it. Next thing, you have to be the next man off. It's like he actually starts the chain of events to get you playing. He was just so impressive. But the Obuel goal, I just want to speak about that because the way you're coached at the moment, I think, is if you're running through the middle of the goals, you dish it to the side.
Stick it to it, Jimmy. I hear Mayo did this twice in the first 10 minutes yesterday. You don't have to pass that ball.
You don't have to
pass. There's times it works, but we threw Darragh Kerwin under the bus for the National League final for not dishing it.
So that was the wrong choice.
It's the balance between, if you take it on, you better finish it. You better be really clinical. There are times where it's a palm goal into an empty net, but of Wales won yesterday, it wouldn't have been a palm goal into an empty net. The guys would have to catch it, come back. It gives the defenders an extra chance. He's just a guy, like, talk about top of the pops, confidence-wise. There's a fella who's taking advantage of a two-point arc. He's man of the match yesterday, wasn't he?
Our wheel was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if he's low on confidence, he probably does shift that, Jimmy. And the guys, Derry scramble the fence and they have to fist it over the bar. But I thought it was just confidence.
But like, I think that's why coaching can be so dangerous at times. It's like, they're seeing what's our best chance of scoring. Of course it is dish it to the side and pam it in. But like, how often does it actually happen that easy? I know from playing with good goalies, especially with Kelly, with Kerry and Legion, right? He wants that ball to be dished to the side because then he can anticipate it and rush that player and force him to come back. Whereas with Obuel, he takes his time. He knows that that's an option for him to his right-hand side. And he's kind of teasing the defenders. Like, am I going to slip it? Am I, I'm going to bury it into the corner.
It's so subtle.
I think it's just brilliant. Not greedy. It's responsibility.
Composure.
I have the skills to put this into the corner from about 10, 15 yards. It's not like it's from miles out. If I put this in the corner, it is a goal. I don't have to then risk a pass. If you pass it, you're trusting your man's handling, his step, the defender not getting hands on him, and the defender not getting hands on him, and then if he's able to finish, you're taking so much more into the game rather than just burying it yourself if you're true on goals. Use your skills that you've had for 25 years.
It does depend on also where your teammate is going to receive that ball. If he's at the edge of the square and he's really close to the goal and he literally just has to palm it into the empty net, that is the pass.
Yes.
But if he's a bit further out, which the Donegal guys were, you make that pass, you're right. Goalkeeper and defender are trying to entice you into that. It gives them a chance to scramble.
Yeah.
This is, you look at the first 10 minutes, Mayo had this opportunity twice. And they shipped that pass, but Sligo had the it wasn't a slam dunk goal.
But they slipped that pass because they're told to slip that pass.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And the player needs to read it. And again, look, if it's a defender coming up the pitch or whatever it is, maybe it suits to pass that ball. The one with Kerwin in the league final for Kildare against Offaly, the goalkeeper and defender are out of the game if he gives that pass to Niall Kelly on his left-hand side. It's a guaranteed goal. So it's the player has to have the composure to... And this is what Darren Boyle is confident. If he doesn't have the league he had, or he's getting a chance with McGuinness yesterday, he's kind of thinking, he's going into that situation, don't make a mistake. That's his starting point. Whereas yesterday he's like, the fucking last thing I want to do is pass this because I'm confident, I know I'm going to score a goal here. And you just look at it, it was that composure. We spoke about a Tommy DeMayo Sligo game, Pat's Ballant. Pams, Aidan O'Shea gets the same chance to start the second half. He takes about 15 seconds to put the ball in the net. He's total confidence, composure. He can literally walk the ball into the net. And it's just players at different stages of the confidence, experience cycle, whatever it might be. But Darryl Boyle, that play, I'll have a look. I'll take my time, swing of the hips. Do you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to roll it into the corner. And he does it. And it was a player at the top of his game and a brilliant, brilliant goal.
And I'll just double down on what the 2 years saying there. Like, I don't think Donegal panicked at all, right? Five points apiece, 25 minutes in. I asked McGuinness about it and he talked about the importance of staying calm in these Ulster Championship games and throughout the season, right?
Was he a bit, did he have a little pushback at you about something, did he? Did I see a clip? You said he hated the rules.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, was it not you?
But no, you're actually, this is Paddy, this is actually exhibit A of you twisting his words. He didn't say that at all. Go listen to the clip and come back to me.
I was like, Tommy's getting a raw deal here.
Tommy's a bit cranky this morning. I don't mind putting this on me. I reckon, Tommy, there's a little bit of angst there. What is it, Tom?
There's no angst. There's no angst. There's no crankiness. You're just misphrasing incorrect. Something that wasn't even said to me. Matty Clerkin asked McGuinness about him waving his hands when Caoimhe McGonagall went off. So Caoimhe McGonagall goes off the field injured in the 29th minute, right? So he was down injured. The new route, like, he has to exit the field now, right? So Donegal's centre back, right? There's a couple of things I want to go through from this game. Donegal's centre channel, Derry went through it quite a bit. But when McGonagall wasn't there, they went straight through it. And McGuinness can be seen waving his arms trying to get McGonagall back on. And goal is scored. So he was asked about that afterwards. And he said, to be fair to him, he said he was kind of reluctant to kind of bite at Malachy's question. And then he does bite. And he says that he's been on the phone to Jim Gavin multiple times this year. He really likes the rules. He's reluctant about some stuff. But like, it's an easy thing for managers to say that the media twist their words. Paddy, you're the only person I've heard twist McGuinness's words saying that ire was directed at me. It wasn't directed at me at all. It wasn't, I'm only joking there, but I don't know. Like, I've heard McGuinness make the point, and I've been in front of him, make the point about maybe the need for a sixth substitution earlier this year. That caught fire after the Dublin game. I can understand why they made it. I think Dublin lost three hamstrings in that game. Early doors. Look, managers have to talk about these things all the time. I'm kind of at the stage where I'm not even asking them about the rules anymore, just for a little while for it to settle. But
just one tiny thing on the rules.
Yeah, go for it.
I think
is a
little bit harsh at the moment is if somebody catches a clean kick out and you put a hand on
midfield
them,
mark,
like, and it goes up 50 meters, like it's so harsh. Like, there was a time when actually in the second half, Derry had got their two pointers to come back into the game through Doherty and Rogers, and then the next kick out went, and just as Derry had the momentum up,
Hugh McFadden wins it, and Murray pulls at him.
Yeah. And McBrearty tips over a point, then it's like a lot of the good work is over. But I look, it's a big thing, but it's a small rule that's just really harsh.
I'll tell you where absolute carnage happened in this one. We had a Division 3 game at Cratlow at the weekend against Coolmeen, back in Coolmeen and West Clare. Very hard place to go. And they'd have Cathal O'Connor playing in Coolmeen. So Cathal O'Connor is the last link. Pat Nolan had this piece. The last link that Mick O'Dwyer had with a current intercounty player. And I think, you know, given that Mick O'Dwyer played in the 50s and the 60s with Kerry, his connection with footballers went from the 40s all the way up to 2022, I think, with Cathal O'Connor finished up. So he always either coached or played with a player that was playing in the championship up to Cathal O'Connor. Like, the amount of times somebody won a mark in a Division 3 game and essentially pushed it into somebody, as in like, ref, to get he's in my way.
It
happened. And I'm not blaming the referee because everybody was at it. But it literally, nearly every kick out where a mark was caught clean, and it was a crazy wind in Coolmeen, you were essentially trying to get your free move forward. So, look,
isn't it a wonder the refs have to be, refs have to read if someone's doing that, taking the piss, or...
Yeah.
The rationale, why it's brought in, again, you can see it makes sense. It's to stop someone like bear hugging someone and try to pull them down and slow it down, then bring it up. I think we'll see that develop over the next couple of weekends. If someone's genuinely trying to tackle someone and then steps away, they might let that one slide a bit. Because an innocuous thing, it's a score at the other end. And it's, refs will, I'm sure they'll, common sense, you want black and white rules, but the refs have to show up with the common sense there. I think they will.
I think, though, what club players will cop onto, and James, you might see this as well, is that you'll know from the first kick out if the ref has given any leniency there or he's not. And what happened is they got away with one. We tried it and it just kept going back and forth. You don't want that to happen because it's kind of...
No, you don't. Because if you have a good 2-point free taker, not only is it a tap over free, it's actually a 2-point swing, then it becomes a problem. But just on your McGonagall point, I think that Derry actually got in around the back of Donegal quite a lot.
A few times. Yeah.
So it's something for Donegal to improve. But even for Derry, from a Derry point of view, they can take a bit of heart from that. They were getting a lot of chances. They were quite creative. They looked kind of light in their feet and as if they could get in around the back a lot. I know they only took one of the chances, but for Donegal, they will have to tidy that up a little bit. I still think Donegal actually defended very well. Any time that there was a little bit of a miss hop or solo, they were in. I think the commentary said a great point that what they were doing, they were trusting each other defensively. One fellow would sprint out and put heat on, knowing that someone else was going to fill in behind him. Because if you're not at it defensively, what happens is one man sprints out, he gets sidestepped, and they're in around the back. So because there's only 12 back, it probably does allow for more chance of that happening, but I still think Donegal defended quite well.
Can I make a couple of quick points, and you can come in on any of these if you want, right? I was looking at the matchups here before the game, and I was like, wow, look at the Donegal half back line and the Derry half forward line. Ryan McHugh, McGonagall, Mogan up against Doherty, Cassidy, and McFall. And like, on paper, box office stuff. But the line that caught my eye the most after watching the game and experiencing it was Donegal's full back line.
Yeah.
Finbar Rorty, lads, 18 years old. He goes off, I think, with a little bit of a hammer injury. And McGuinness kind of put it down to how green he was. He saw Rorty kind of hobbling. They were getting ready to take him off. And next thing he goes off in two full pitch sprints. And they're like, what are you doing? We're taking off. But like he scores a great point and a couple of great interceptions. McCall's on McGuigan. McGuigan doesn't score from play. I'd say if McGuigan's game could have gone very differently if he buries that penalty. But Kieran Moore, lads. Mm. Kieran Moore was nominated for Young Footballer of the Year last year. I was tipped off about this fella from somebody who had watched the Donegal Challenge game in December 2023. Keep an eye on the red-headed buck that's flying out of defence for Donegal. He's a new footballer this year. I could not anticipate what was coming. This guy has everything. Like, if Rorty is the cut of a Donegal defender and a Donegal man, like, I was sitting beside Declan Bogue in the press box and Bogue was like, look at Rorty's hair. Stick an Aaron jumper on him. Give him a little point in the corner. Maybe he can play a bit of guitar like Gallagher and Ballyshannon. Like, just a pure Donegal man. But Kieran Moore is like Lacey and McGlynn and these boys rolled into one. Did you see his second point where he wins the kick out? Another long kick out from McNichol. He wins it, breaks through two tackles and puts the ball over the bar. I just think, nominated for Young Footballer of the Year last year, what level is this kind of guy going to go to this year? And Donegal used their bench really well throughout this game. We were wondering going into it, who they're going to start with, who are going to finish with. And Murphy gets his minutes. The roar, lads, from the crowd. First of all, in the first half, when Murphy goes for a two-pointer and it drops short. But I think the crowd thought it was going over the bar, just as the ball's in the air. We could tell from our side in the press box, the wind going into the River Finn was going to pull it back, but drop short. But by God, when he scored his point, his second point in the 58th minute, the Donegal crowd responded. The Clifford factor is there with Michael Murphy, and how they use him this year is going to be just so interesting. You mentioned that point that he set up for O'Donnell earlier on as well. Patrick McBurtie catching fire in the second half. How good is this for Donegal going into the Monaghan game? You know? And then you've got...
Stay injury free, Patrick.
Yes.
That he's had hammers and hips and back and every. It's just, he's pivotal to what Donegal are. No bones about it. It's the All Ireland for Donegal. That's the focus. That's the goal. And for neutral supporters, you want to see the best players out on the pitch. And if he's rolling back the ears, he's still a young fella, but rolling back the ears yesterday, that second half in particular, you just see. If he just stays injury free, he could have one of the great summers as well. And
for sure.
That burden of not just Oisín Gallen maybe felt it stronger last year, but Donegal, that's the threats from all over the pitch. You're right, like Kieran Moore, like mentioning him in the lines with Carl Lacey and Frank McGillan, these guys. The skills pay the bills and he's got them. So Donegal, without even getting out of third gear yesterday, you just see the balance, the depth they have. They've threats from everywhere. That running game, the pace they play at, it's.
Yeah.
It was a statement win. It was a statement win for them yesterday.
Yeah. Last one I'm going to mention is Shane O'Donnell. Actually, I'm going to mention Kieran Thompson too. Thompson didn't score, but he was so good under the high ball. They've just, like, I know they were in second or third gear. And I do think Monaghan and Clonus, that's going to be a cracking game. But just the strength and depth across the squad there and how they're managing the minutes. Like, what must Oisín Gallen and Jamie Brennan be thinking coming off the bench and kicking a point each? Those boys want to be starting. Do you know what I mean? So I just think they're in such a good place.
You need that. You need that.
You need it.
You're talking games, thick and fast. Once all Ireland series, it's week on week, quarterfinal, semi-final, final. Inevitably, there will be injuries. There might be suspensions, whatever it might be. Everyone needs to be ready and mad for Rowan. And if you're Jim McGuinness coming out of there yesterday, you are delighted because of that. That Oisín Gallen is going to train and tomorrow night and he's like, he's got to be the best player on the pitch. He's got to train like that. Jamie Brennan has to be the best player on the pitch. That's the mindset. And then the guys like McBurtie, Murphy, we know their mentality anyway. They've been around a long time, but it's that drives everything forward. And it's the thing that impressed me most with Donegal yesterday was just the balance of the team. Without anyone being exceptional, it's, they tick a lot of boxes from defence, midfield, up front, depth. I always say this with them. I want to see them kick the ball a little bit more than maybe conditions and the way Derry set up, it wasn't conducive to that because Donegal have those kickers as well. And I think they're going to need that come quarterfinal, semi-final, final, Croke Park. We haven't seen it from them yet, but I think that's the next, maybe the final piece that you want to see with Donegal. And I know they have it in the locker. It's just when will we see it?
Yeah.
And, you know, just one thing there, Tom, on the lads being on the bench, you know, Gallen and Brennan and these fellas, I think you need a really strong figurehead, a strong manager to be able to do that. Because otherwise you're kind of going, oh, fuck's sake, this is the wrong colour, whatever. Like, the trust in McGuinness is there. You can clearly see that they trust him with their lives. Like, they've begged this fella to come in and take their team 2 years ago. So, like, he has full control and full power over those fellas in a good way. Like, they trust him with everything. Whatever he decides to do, I think they'll go with. And I still think that by the end of the year, despite McBurtie and Murphy being arguably Donegal's best players, I think he'll hold them in the big championship matches for the second half to be there in the big moments. Because McBurtie, when the game just slowed down a little bit, he was so in control and so able to do what he wanted to be able to do. If you can have his body right for those moments, I think the same with Murphy. I think
you said it, Jimmy. You spoke about quality last week. That's both those players, obviously. That's what you are getting. No matter what age you are, how many miles on the clock you have, you don't lose that control, that touch, that mindset of just no panic and like what a pair of weapons for Donegal to have. How to use them, I agree. We'll have to wait and see as the games come ticking fast. But McBurtie with a little bit of space and a little bit of time, I mean, that guy is just with his eyes closed, he's swinging the ball over the bar.
Yeah, it is. And you know, on the second gear, right? I think you can go through games almost in second gear if you're on top of midfield, or if you have a goalie who's going to get you out, or if you have a midfielder who's going to compete for everything and win his fair share, then you can kind of get through the games, maybe not playing your best. If you're beaten in that area of the field, or you don't have a goalie of that quality, you are going to be under an awful lot of pressure if you're not absolutely at it. That's why Donegal are in a great position, because they're strong in the air and they have this goalie who is an absolute wizard with the ball on the tee.
We haven't even fully got into that, but I'm sure there'll be more chat about Donegal after the Monaghan game. Lots of good stuff there. This is also the time when programmes are appearing, right, and players are returning. So I spotted that Niall Higgins, the Roscommon cornerback, a guard based in Navan, has transferred to last year's intermediate runners-up Navan O'Mahony's. And Jason McGee made his return for Donegal. And there was talk earlier in the year that the Clann Ely man was transferring. And beside his name in the matchday programme, Banty's Corduff in Monaghan. Senior football champions. So we might wait and hear a little bit more about how that came about and why that came about. So Jason McGee is going to be playing Monaghan Championship football this year, and he's back in the field. Lads, the size of that fella. Anyways, we'll move on. We're going to take a quick break here in the Football Pod. It's brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. A couple of quick stories to hit on when we come back right after this. You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue. We had 9 championship games this weekend. Rattling through the scores here really quickly. On Saturday in the Munster Senior Football Championship, Tipperary took care of Waterford, a 122-119 win. Stephen O'Brien was the difference in this game, lads. James, you would have played a bit of football with this man with AIB, I presume, over the years in your interfirms, no?
AIB All-Stars, yeah.
Stephen O'Brien, Tipperary midfielder, scored 1-8 at the weekend.
Absolutely, captain of the AIB GAA team. Serious operator and great character as well. I'd say great man in that dressing room, great leader, serious player, unbelievable hands, good engine, good kicker, but top fella. So a great team man, I'd say, for that Tip team. I think he got 1-8, did he?
He scored 1-8, yeah. He scored 1-8, and you know, he's been struggling with hammers, I think, and quad issues over the last couple of years, but that was a big performance and a big result for him. Waterford reeled him in. Conor Murray returning, the captain, scored 5 points, but they're on into the Tatchell Cup. Tipperary go on to face Clare in the Munster semi-final on the 19th in Cusick Park. Limerick-Cork. Limerick 13 points, Cork 24. Cork did what they had to do here. They impressed. Brian O'Driscoll with a clatter of 2-pointers. They kicked 5 across the game. They got the job done. They're hosting Kerry and Páirc Uí Chaoimh on the 19th of April as well. Connacht quarterfinals. We've already gone through Mayo 220, Sligo 217. Roscommon and Galway were playing away from home. New York hit 20 points against Galway at the weekend. Robinson from Kildare impressed, gave Johnny McGrath a tough go. Jack Robinson would have been a star of the Clare Miners back in 2016. Frank O'Reilly from Meath, I think he kicked 3 2-pointers, got 7 points for New York. Donald Hunt as well, James, a Kerryman, who actually played his football in Salt Hill Loch Nacara and actually in the Galway panel last year.
He played championship. Did he play one championship match?
He could have. I thought he just played maybe. I'm not sure. He definitely was involved with Galway in 24, but he was on the field and there was a nice photo from Sultan Knocknacara of, I think, 7 players they had, 6 with Galway and 1 with New York yesterday. So Galway got the job done eventually, 328 to 20 points. Matthew Tierney with 2 goals, Cian Hernan with another. John Maher went off with an injury. I think Joyce was worried early doors, but I think by the time the end of the game came around, Maher was hobbling around. He wasn't as bad as maybe initially feared. And it was confirmed, we mentioned it briefly last week on the pod, but Peter Cook is back and Joyce has laid down the mantle. He said Cook is looking after himself, but he's going to have to prove it in training over the next little while if he wants to grab a spot. So that's another addition to Galway's weapon, I suppose. So, or arsenal of weapons. So it's Galway versus Common in the Connacht semi-final on the weekend of the 20th of April, and Mayo will face Leitrim that day as well. In Ulster and Leinster this weekend, we've got seven games. Okay. Preliminary quarterfinal in Ulster, we've mentioned it already. Donegal 125, Derry 115. We've gone through that one. In the Leinster preliminary quarterfinals, Wexford, I feel sorry for these boys. They were unbelievable during the league, but they've played 6 weekends in a row. It's been really tough. They've lost a couple of bodies before the league final, lost a couple of bodies during the league final, and Laois had way too much for them. They've had a nice rivalry brewing between these two, and Laois again had too much for them, 221 to 211. Big win for Laois there. Brian Byrne getting a goal. You know, they're motoring along nicely. They're facing a loud side now that we're not fully sure where Louder are at. They're supposedly missing Mulroy. I spoke to Sam Mulroy last week, and it seems like he's going to be out for the Leinster Championship.
What's the injury for Mulroy, though?
It's a hammer. I think he did it the Thursday night before the Meath game. So it looks like he's going to miss the majority of the Leinster campaign. He might be back later on. It was actually, Patrick O'Sullivan and Daniel O'Reilly goals for Laois that got them by Wexford. And Wexford's two goals came from the bench, from Sean Ryan and from Michael Kinsler, who came off the bench for two late goals for Wexford, a bit of gloss on the scoreline. So Laois are going on to play Loud this weekend. That game is in Newbridge on the Sunday. There's a game in Newbridge on the Saturday that we're going to get to in a minute, Paddy. And then we have Longford falling short to Wicklow. This game was 1:15 apiece at the end of normal time. Wicklow pulled away in extra time, impressively, 223 to 120. They got the job done. And they're being rewarded with the prize of facing the Dubs, hosting the Dubs in the Leinster quarterfinal next week. Are the Dubs back from Portugal yet? They had a couple of weeks over in Portugal, Paddy.
Couple of weeks. A few days they were over. They are back. They're training, locked in on a trip to Ockham. Fuck's sake, Tommy. Yeah, they're away for a month in Portugal.
Yeah, lovely stuff. So Matthew Carey again impressed throughout the league for Longford. Kicked 70, top scorer for them. Kevin Quinn with 1-5. Oisín McGrainor with 7 points for Wicklow at the weekend. Two of them impressed. And then Mead, a lot of noise around this game. You know, we were with our buddies in McCormick's and Trim on Friday. A lot of noise in the county the last little while. Well, and no real answers after the game. Robbie Brennan was speaking post-match. Very disappointed. Had nothing but good things to say about McMahon and Corey. Jason Plunkett, the Mead chairman, sitting beside him, shut down any follow-up questions around it.
I heard this. This is the answer. Don't say anything. We've answered that question already. It's like, that's a man who just wants this to move on, but we'll see.
Well, let's wait and see what's said after the Offaly game this weekend. So if Mead can follow up that 130-19 point win against Carlow with another good performance, I presume they're underdogs. I presume Offaly are the hot favourites going into Navan this weekend.
No, I would say Mead are favourites.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I've seen
Robbie Brennan's comments. I think it'd be a really good game. And if you're from Mead's perspective, it was a tough situation. They just had to win that game. So the rack up 130. Yeah. I know they played with the breeze in the first half, put the game to bed. They did what they had to do. Offaly coming to town. As good as Offaly were, we spoke at the top of the show, the difference between divisions, we've seen it, like Wexford shooting the lights out through Division 4 and they get whopped by a Division 3 team, you know, so in Laois. So Offaly have a lot of weapons and they're confident and the Mickey Hart factor and all that type of stuff. But I wouldn't be going, they're red hot favourites going to Navan. So
they're not. Meader are one of red hot favourites.
Meader one
of red hot favourites.
I think that's going to be a great game, though, lads. I think that'll be a great game.
It will.
It'll be good. Yeah. Do you know what? I think that Mead have to just, I know that maybe
Mead have to beat them. Mead have to fucking beat them. That's what they have to do. Like.
But I mean, I know we're talking about, you know, losing the coaches and things, but from a Mead point of view, they're going to want that story gone. Like, they don't want to be hanging on answering questions about that anymore because it's not going to allow them to move on and go forward. Like, they have to, they now have a new setup that they need to progress with. They can't keep answering questions about what happened or are they coming back or when did they taste that. Like, that's gone. Especially from a player's point of view. They have to almost, forget they were ever there in the first place nearly because they need to go from now into championship and give it a proper shot. Like, I always say, you don't have that many years as a player. You can't scratch off a year and have a bad year just because your coaches are gone. You have to be strong enough to be able to say, we're still going to have a great year despite what's happened and not crumble because of it.
Well, you made that point very well the other night. Like, and I think...
And lads, they might
be heard as well. They have to, but the Mead players have to grab this. This is their careers. Like, it's a Monaghan man and a Tyrone man that's after walking out on them.
Yeah.
You know, with 10 weeks left. No, seriously. Seriously. Yeah. No, honestly. Like, and like, maybe this won't be cleaned up, but there's a vacuum of information there. But like, for the two lads that walked out on a group of players that they committed 6 months to, I don't know how that looks. And the players need to move on now. They need to move on now, but as James, you've made the point, this is their careers and they need to grab it by the scruff of the neck. And in Navan on Sunday, they're going to have to lay down a marker. And whatever happens after that, if they can make a bit of a dent in the All-Ireland round-robin stage, that's a bit of progress on last year where they didn't win a game in the group. So there's an opportunity there for the Mead footballers to own this and not let the outside noise hamper them. Or they could just crumble. Which would be an awful shame.
And tell me, we might see it. Like, I thought it was a great reaction from them yesterday. Players kept their head down. They did the job. Put the game to bed early. Kicked 1:30. Move on to the Offaly game. We haven't heard from the players. Maybe they are doing all of these things. So we give them the benefit of the doubt. And from, I agree, Tommy, from me perspective, it wasn't much of a crowd in Avon. Okay, maybe the game.
3,000.
But you think Offaly are going to bring a big crowd this weekend. And maybe those Meath players will go and do that. Maybe they'll go and say, right, all this other shit outside the camp, we're going to go, put Offaly to the sword and move on again. So proof will be in the pudding. We'll see this weekend, but I'd love to see them do it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. That's going to be a cracking game. I'm in Navan for Off the Ball that day, and we'll see. Do we hear any more after the game as well? We also have, as we mentioned, Loudleash, Wicklow, Dublin. In Ulster, we've got Antrim against Armagh and Corrigan Park. Jonathan Higgins is there for Off the Ball on Sunday. That game is going to be live on BBC as well, if anyone wants to catch that one. We've got Fermanagh down in Brewster Park and in Enniskillen. Tyrone and Cavan is live on RTE on Sunday. That's going to be a good game. And Paddy, the game on GA Plus, are you going to this game on Saturday night? I'm going to be there for Off the Ball on Saturday night. Will we both be in?
I'll see you there, T. I'll see you there. Looking forward to it.
In Newbury, that is going to be a cracker. What's Meath have slipped into favourites in that one? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, again, maybe it's the division thing. I know they were relegated from Division 2. They were probably a bit unfortunate in some of those games. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's going to be packed. First championship match in the new, redeveloped Newbridge. There's going to be a massive crowd. I know Kildare, we spoke at length about them after that league final defeat to Offaly, but there's a buzz around them. I'm hoping Kildare can back something up. But I think the atmosphere Saturday night, the tropical weather will continue. Big crowd in the town. And the more so that we're talking about Meath, just having to fucking by hook or by crook win that game on Sunday against Offaly. For Kildare, yeah, they've got the issues up front. They're not clinical. All that stuff we spoke at length about last week, they have to win this game. And an opportunity against a wounded Westmeath. John Heslin has joined us on GAA Plus, so he'll have the Westmeath angle. What a loss he will be, or, you know, he's over a decade been Westmeath's go-to man. So he'll have a bit of insight there on the comings and going of Westmeath. It's been a tough spring for them, but I think that's a brilliant game as well this weekend. I don't know, we'll cover it at length on next week's show, but there'll be a big atmosphere, big expectation. Can Kildare back something up and get a win in the Leinster Championship? It's going to be tight. It's going to be very, very tight.
Yeah. We're back with our members pod on Wednesday. A few little bits and that to look forward to at the weekend. And then the week after that, we have gotten the Jesus lads, the 20th. Easter Sunday is going to be a sensational weekend of GA. There is Clare Cork in the Munster Hurling Championship. There will be Galway Roscommon in the Connacht Football Championship. There will be Donegal and Monaghan in the Ulster Football Championship. And a couple of other quality games that weekend as well. There's 20s football tonight. The Dalata Hotel Group under 20 championship. Kerry Cork, James, in Tralee. So,
yeah, be a good game. But the way the Munster Championship is, they can face each other again in the Munster Championship in the final if they get there. Like, so.
Exactly.
It's a funny kind of a setup, but still be worth seeing, you know, see what's coming through. It should be a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. There's loads of live GA next weekend. Fintan O'Toole always has the tweet up. There's the ladies' football finals and the Camogie finals. So Cork Galway and Armagh Kerry are butting TG Cahir on the Saturday. As I mentioned, Antrim Armagh is live on the BBC. Kildare Westmeath will be on GA Plus on Sunday. The Camogie finals, Offaly Derry and RT2, Cork Galway and Offaly 2 from 12:15 and 2:15. And then 4:15 in the evening, live on RT2 and BBC, Tyrone and Cavan in the football. Another cracking weekend ahead. Lots of GA midweek. Keep an eye on TG Cahir and the player for that. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, enjoy the rest of this beautiful Monday. To everyone tuning in at home, thanks for listening in. And we'll see you on Wednesday on our members pod. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Tom.
See you later, lads.